When Lord Vishnu is pleased, because of Bali's giving everything to him, Bali Maharaj will achieve the perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 3, it is stated, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. Out of many millions of people, one may attempt to achieve success in life. This success is explained here. Radham indra padang hitva tatak siddhim avapsyati. Siddhi consists of achieving the favor of Lord Vishnu, not the yoga siddhis. The yoga siddhis, anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, prakamya, ishitva, vasitva, and kamavasayita are temporary. The ultimate siddhi is to achieve the favor of Lord Vishnu. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shtarne Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vataksha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gope Shagapika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabhaneshri Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripre Vancha Kaupa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasvati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here it is mentioned a very, very important point. To achieve success in life, to achieve the perfection of life. What is that success? What is that perfection? Practically unknown nowadays. In spite of so much evidence to the contrary, the vast majority of people still think that success in life means just acquiring more and more material accoutrements. More and more power, more and more money, more and more influence, more and more fame, like that. In other words, trying to stock up on what are Krishna's natural opulences. Because we're parts and parcels of Krishna, we have those opulences in minute quantity. But while we're materially conditioned, we are fully convinced that if I just keep increasing those six opulences, namely wealth, fame, knowledge, beauty, renunciation, if I keep increasing those things, then I will be happy. But there's so much evidence to the contrary. Quite often, those who don't have, what we call in society the have-nots, they're blown away by the fact that those who do have are still not happy. And they're saying, this guy must be crazy. He's got billions of dollars and he's still not happy. Just give me a few million and I'll be happy. No, you won't. Because you'll still be like a fish out of water. You'll still have a material body that's slowly falling apart, or sometimes rapidly falling apart, depending on what happens to it. I read an article a few years back in Australia. Anybody here been to Australia? At least one, Brigapati Prabhu. Almost everything there can kill you. It's the land full of poisonous creatures. Even the common house spider, known as a funnel spider, the bite of that spider is so venomous it can kill you. So I read an article, there was one woman, she got bitten on the leg. And what happens is that necropsy sets in. In other words, your body starts to rot even while you're still in it. So it was so bad they couldn't do anything about it. And finally, they came up with a brilliant idea. They put her in what's called a hyperbaric chamber, you know, where they can increase the pressure and they give you pure oxygen. And they kept her there for some long time and gradually it healed. But this is the situation that we're in. We're living in a body that's slowly rotting and we're like fish out of water. And I ask this question every time I speak in colleges and high schools. What happens if you went down to the, what would happen if you would go down to the Pacific Ocean and take a fish out of the water? What would happen? No, before it dies, it starts flopping around, gasping for air because it's in a foreign environment. Now, in that flopping around state, if you drive up, like Balaram Prabhu sells cars for Toyota, if he drives up with the latest, you know, hottest Toyota cars, hey, here's the keys, have fun, stop flopping. No, it wouldn't make any difference. You would still be flopping and gasping. And somebody else runs up and says, here's a bottle of, you know, your favorite beverage. Or no, it doesn't matter what you give the fish in that condition. He will never be happy because he's not in his natural environment. So we're all like that. We're all spiritual fish out of the spiritual ocean. We're flopping around in this material world. And lo and behold, no matter what we get materially, a bigger house, a faster car, more beautiful spouse, doesn't matter what you get on the material level, you will never be happy. Because it doesn't take you out of your flopping condition. You're still gasping for spiritual air. That's what we want. We want the air of the spiritual world. The air of perfect interaction with the Supreme Perfect, Krishna. That's what we're looking for. And all of the material accoutrements will never make us happy. And when we discover that ourselves, we become a little bit upset at ourselves. Why aren't you happy? You have a nice house, you have a nice wife, you have a nice car. Why aren't you happy? We tell ourselves. And the relatives also say the same thing. You have a nice house, you have a nice car, you have a nice wife, nice children. Why aren't you happy? Again, missing the point. They have no idea what perfection is and how to, therefore they don't have no clue how to achieve it. So this Shukadeva Goswami here is giving us an overview of the material cosmic situation, naming in advance, and as he goes along, who's going to be Indra, who's going to be the demigods, who are going to be the seven sages, like that. Because these are positions, and the occupants of those positions, they move on. Indra doesn't stay Indra forever. As previously mentioned, there are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. That means they live for 72 Divya Yuga cycles. Very, very long time, but it comes to an end. And the lifetime of different creatures, as we know, even on this planet we experience, is different. So a dog who lives to 20 years old is a grand old dog. He's lived a long life. And when he passes away, everybody says, well, he was such a nice dog. But, he ran his course. And nowadays they give him a grand funeral and, costing thousands of dollars. When I was a kid, we had many dogs. And when a dog would die, you would just find a patch of land somewhere and bury the body or, just leave it for the crows to eat, whatever. Not a big deal. Nowadays, it is a big deal. Prabhupada himself even mentioned in a recent lecture we were listening to that the man, he has nobody to give his love to, so eventually he gives his love to a dog. And so much love he gives to the dog that when he dies, he leaves the money for the dog, millions of dollars for the dog. And other people think, ooh, such a nice man. He took care of his dog so nicely. They don't think, what a rascal. He could have done something so nice with his millions of dollars. He's leaving it for a dog. Because they themselves are in the same situation. So, we should not be so foolish. We're being trained. And this is a training camp. International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a camp for being trained in how to think properly. How to reawaken our native spiritual intelligence so that we're not bewildered by our material situation. It's like we have a very good example today. Rambaru Mataji, I asked her what was wrong. She said her back is out. But she's not bewildered by that. I'm not this back. So I still have to come and worship Lord Damodar. I'm not this back. I'm not this body. Doesn't matter what's going on the physical platform. We have our spiritual duties to take care of. And as far as possible, we should not allow them to be interrupted by anything material. This, by the way, is part of the definition of pure devotional service. Uninterrupted. So, yes, sometimes the physical situation may change. Just like Sanatana Goswami used to daily circumambulate Govardhan. But not just circumambulating Govardhan. Offering obeisances as he went along, all the way around. But eventually the body got old. He could barely get up after doing his dandavats. So the arrangement was made that you just circumambulate the Govardhan Shila, and that will count the same as going all the way around Govardhan. So the activity was going on. He was not giving up his service, his worship of Govardhan. But it was minimized in such a way that he could manage it. And Krishna will do that for us. Krishna is not a mean God. He knows our heart. He's watching our heart constantly, more than we are. We're watching other people's motives. I wonder why he did that. I wonder why she did that. But we don't look so much at our own motivation. Why am I doing what I'm doing now? Or why am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You see? So International Society for Krishna Consciousness means a society in which we are again trained how to properly manage our own consciousness so we can achieve the highest perfection of life. Stop trying to manage other people's consciousness and be trained how to manage our own consciousness properly so we can achieve the highest perfection of life. So what is that highest perfection? In the first canto, second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service, that's such a power-packed chapter. Periodically, I rediscover it and I go, oh my Govinda. Right? OMG for us means, oh my Govinda. Oh my Govinda, what a chapter. It's such nectar in that chapter. So one of those verses says, Atak Pumbir Dvija Tresa Varna Shrama Vibhagasa Svanustitasya Dharmasa Sangsidir Hari Toshanam. So this is the highest perfection of life. This is the highest perfection of life. O best of the twice born, he's saying, the highest perfection of life that one can achieve by discharging one's duties based on your occupation and order of life is Hari Toshanam, to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. This is the highest perfection. This is the best thing that we can achieve in life, is to please Krishna. And it's not so difficult to understand philosophically. If everything emanates from Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna, Krishna is the supreme controller of everything, then if we please him, then what do we have to worry about? We have nothing to worry about. He is the supreme boss. We naturally have that tendency to please the in-charge person. Right? Whether it's the... Or, more likely in Kali Yuga, we have a natural tendency to oppose the in-charge person. Because it's the age of quarrel after all. We, as a society, voluntarily elect them, put them in position, president, mayor, whatever, and then within a short span of time, we all want to tear them down and throw them away. So the cycle is going on based on ignorance. But in the Krishna consciousness movement, everything is supposed to be based on the perfect intelligence that we get from the perfect person. Namely, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are perfect scriptures that give us perfect information, and therefore we can perfectly hone our intelligence. And what is the business of the intelligence? What is the function of intelligence? To discriminate what you should do, what you should not do. What I should do, what I should not do. This is the business of the intelligence, to discriminate. So when the intelligence is sharpened by the grinding stone or the sharpening stone of this shastra and guru and sadhu, then we can very easily and quickly decide what to do and what not to do in every circumstance. And we hopefully we'll make the right choices if we've been hearing. If we don't, it's no fault of Srila Prabhupada, that's for sure. Because his intelligence was spiritually sharp as anything. And he was training us how to follow in his footsteps. How to follow in his footsteps. And so those of us who make it a business of regularly hearing from Srila Prabhupada, that is the way to keep your intelligence sharp. And that way we can avoid the pitfalls of material life by applying the spiritual intelligence at every moment. Prabhupada is pointing out here again that perfection is not necessarily, as some people think, achieving these yoga siddhis, anima, lagima, mahima. These are bewildering, sometimes even to the possessors of such. But willing both ways. Prabhupada gave an example that while he was a youth in Calcutta, that sometimes these yogis would come down out of the Himalayas, they've achieved some of these cities, and they would display them in the public and either get some money or, you know, like that, get some notoriety, some fame. But that's not the perfection of life. One of these cities is how to control other people's minds, so they could do that. They would come down to a village, control everybody's minds, take what they want, and go back. But this is not the perfection of life. So these yoga cities are a stumbling block. The devotees, they don't aspire for them. Sometimes, by His will, the Lord may display some mystic power through His devotee, but the devotee is not hankering for the mystic powers. In the beginning, we may do so, because we're performing mixed devotional service. I know personally, I used to think, because I was never one of those really naturally good Sankirtan devotees, so I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if He could just control the people and call them over, give them the book, and they can't resist. And you mentally tell them how much to give you, and they give you $20 or $100. Wouldn't that be great? We could save the whole world so quickly. But that's not Krishna's desire. He doesn't want us to go out there and develop a reputation for controlling people. Because they have their free will. By our free will, we should go out and preach. And by the free will of the public, they may take it, they may not take. But we know that this Krishna consciousness is so powerful that any contact they have is beneficial for them. Any contact, even a slight contact, like when we go out and chant in the streets, those who hear, even if they walk away or try to run away, it's too late. They already heard. And that once hearing Krishna's name is already destroying more sins than they can commit. And that's not just what I'm saying that. This is what Yamaraj said to the Yamadutas. After the Yamadutas came back and complained that we have never been stopped before. This guy was obviously a sinner. We went to get him, and then these other guys came and stopped us. What is going on here? So Yamaraj explained to them that the chanting the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that if you even chant one time unconsciously, it destroys the reactions to more sins than you can commit. That's how powerful the holy name is. How powerful. So we know that even if it seems that you're not successful, and Prabhupada repeated this over and over again, he said even if you go somewhere to preach and apparently there's nobody there, there are insects in the wall, they will benefit from your chanting. You see? So we should never feel disappointed. Never feel disappointed. Our success is in the effort that we make to chant, to distribute books, to distribute prasadam, to distribute like that, the holy name. This is our success, the effort that we make. This is our success. It is noted by Krishna, who doesn't miss anything. Even though we are always watching each other and judging each other, we miss things. We may give somebody credit for something they're not due for, or discredit them for something they should have been credited. But Krishna doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't make any mistakes. He knows what you should be credited for, what you should be slapped for. And He will slap. Prabhupada pointed that out also. That when you come to Krishna consciousness, the reactions that you seem to be getting are not regular karmic reactions. It's Krishna personally takes charge of you. So instead of having your head cut off one day, which is what was due to you, you'll get a slap. You may get a little cut while shaving. Little blood comes out. Krishna minimized the reaction because He's in control of you now. He's in control. And so when the reactions come, the devotee doesn't become upset because he knows Krishna's in control of my life now. So if I stub my toe, if something happens, it's Krishna reminding me that I should be more vigilant, more diligent in my execution of devotional service. And so the devotee's never upset. Prabhupada many, many times pointed that out, knowing our tendency. He pointed it out many times. He said it's just like the father and son. He said sometimes the father slaps the son, but it's out of love. It's not out of enmity or envy or something like that. So the son takes it in that way. Okay, my father is correcting me. Let me stop doing my nonsense. So the same way the devotee's looking at everything that happens in his or her life, that Krishna's in control of my life. And if I get a bad back or I stub my toe or whatever, I don't take it to, you know, as anything big deal, because I know Krishna's in control. And I should have gotten a worse situation. Instead of having a bad back, maybe I should have broken my back. God forbid, but just example. Or instead of, again, just getting a cut while shaving, I should have lost my head that day because of all the sinful things that I committed in the past. So the devotee, again, is never morose. Moroseness means ignorance. If we're in a morose condition of life, it means ignorance. We're still being conducted by ignorance. We're being influenced by the mode of ignorance. When we're at least in the mode of goodness and striving for pure goodness, shuddha-sattva, then we're never morose. We're never morose because, again, we see through the eyes of shastra, shastra-chakshusha. Philosophically, we understand what's going on. We see things in the right perspective. We approach somebody, they don't take. They may even get mad at us. Once I was in Brooklyn, a new devotee, coming home from the Henry Street Temple, and I approached one gentleman. It was a little late in the evening, and he immediately pulled a gun at me like this. But I was so blissed out from chanting the last kirtan at the temple and taking prasadam in Henry Street. They used to give wonderful prasadam. Omkar, no, she was there. So I was so blissed out, it didn't even faze me. I just said, okay, Hare Krishna. Just and he was blown away. It was like, normally you pull a gun at somebody and they go, whoa. I just said, okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Bo. So we can achieve that condition of life where nothing, just like Prahlad. That's what was freaking out Hiranyakashipu. He was trying in so many ways to kill Prahlad. And Prahlad was just Haribo. He didn't care. It was just okay. And so Srila Prabhupada said in one class, he said, this is why Hiranyakashipu was so worried. Because if you are the greatest demon that ever lived, everybody's afraid of you. The demigods tremble when you raise your eyebrows. But you can't even kill your own 5-year-old son. That's not good for business. Bad for your reputation. What kind of hitman are you if you can't even kill your old... Who's going to hire you to be a hitman if you can't even kill your own 5-year-old boy? So he was very, very worried and anxious, and that's why he confronted him. Where are you getting the power from to defy me? And Prahlad said, from the same place you get your power. So we should know where the power is, who the most powerful person is. We should serve that powerful person with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and we will be taken care of. Just like we sing every morning. Please shower the rain of mercy upon me. Uplift me and protect me. With what? Not nuclear bombs or... No, with your nectarian vision. If we have the nectarian vision of Yashoda Damodar in our hearts, in our minds, then we're protected. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter. Even if the final moment comes, you're protected when you have that vision. This is the whole goal, is to have that vision of Radha Krishna, Guru Krishna, Yashoda Damodar, so firmly fixed in our hearts and our minds that even the final moment comes, you don't even notice it. It's like, isn't it? You don't even notice it. It's just like you transition and you don't even notice the transition. You just move on and you look around and say, oh, I used to be in that body. Okay, or whatever. You just go on. You're not attached, completely attached. So this is the goal. And we are meant to strive for it seriously ourselves. And just like our traveling parties back, these young men, what could be more blissful? And of course, it's a very serious responsibility. You have to keep your eye on the road, no accidents as far as possible. But what more blissful life can there be than being a brahmachari, traveling, and distributing the holy name in the form of these books? No worries. That's real no fear, no worries, because you're doing Krishna's service, you're on Krishna's job. And we have an example from England that... That Indian girl, and many of you may have read that story, she was going to the temple and gradually came out. She was having some experiences that she went through this past life regression to find out in her previous life she had been a brahmachari in Scotland and died in a car accident. But because that brahmachari had been attracted to an Indian girl in the temple, came back as an Indian girl in his next life. So, a lot of things to learn from that experience, that yes, you will pick up wherever you left off, you will be given a chance to continue so, but better we should strive to finish it up, Prabhupada always say, sacrifice this one lifetime, finish up the business, go back to home, back to Godhead. Okay, we can stop here. Any questions, any comments? Yes, Mother Mati, Mati G. The microphone, please. He's bringing the mic.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class.
Hare Bo.
As usual. Speaking of Yoda Siddhis or mystic powers, last year I was shooting a documentary in the Mahakumbh Mela in Prayag, and I got an opportunity to see all kinds of quote-unquote yogis and sadhus, Nagababas doing all kinds of things, like one guy with the arm up for years, or one guy with one leg binded forever and ever, and people doing acrobatics with parts of their body that are only meant for going to the restroom. Anyways, and I noticed that when we go do kirtan in these yoga communities here in California and surrounding areas such as Bhakti Fest or these kinds of festivals, there's a lot of people that are attracted to the kirtan, to the chanting, but they have some kind of misconceptions about spirituality and gurus and stuff. And they approach me and they say, yeah, I have a guru. I'm not going to name names, but my guru is such and such. He has some mystic powers. Really? What was the mystic power? Oh, he manifested vibhuti and, like, you know, golden rings and golden bracelets and golden watches out of nowhere. I'm like, really? I've seen some people in Vegas do that too. Or they come and say, oh, my guru has some mystic power. What was it? Oh, he was a Hanuman incarnation, really. Yeah, he wore a blanket all the time, and he sat like a monkey, and he chanted, ram, 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 all the time. Okay. Or they say, oh, my guru was amazing. He had a mystic power. What was it? It was the power of love, really. Yeah, he died recently. How did he die? He died in a car accident. He was riding his motorcycle in Hawaii or whatever. Really? Yeah, he was with his 20-year-old girlfriend in the back of the motorcycle, and they crashed somewhere. You know, I'm like, whoa. You know, I become really bewildered trying to reach out to them because I see there's some spark of sincerity in their chanting, and I don't really know how to explain to them that, you know, they might be cheated by these people. And when I do try to explain to them, like, I always quote what Srila Prabhupada said, that anybody that claims to be God or Krishna avatar or whatever, they're actually the OG dog. But anyways, no matter how soft or hardcore I try to make my point, they always tell me, oh, you're just a Hare Krishna, you're just hardcore, you know, you're a cult member, you just like your way or the highway, you don't accept other people's point of views, you know, like, whoa. So, long story. I'm just hoping for your advice, because I know you also, you know, walk around these circles and you know what kind of people I'm talking about. What would be your advice when approaching these kind of people?
My first advice is stop thinking of yourself as a preacher.
No, I'm not. Exactly. That's part of the problem.
Let me finish. This is the first mistake we make. We call ourselves preachers. We're not. We are assistant preachers. Srila Prabhupada does the preaching, and he himself said, what is the use of your 3-minute lecture? Give them my book. That will save them. If they read one word, even look at one picture. So that should be our goal, even in those circles. If you can get them to take the book, of course, if they won't, then prasadam and get them to chant. The chanting will. Krishna's there. Krishna's the one who actually delivers. He's Chaitanya Guru. It's not us. We should never think that there's something that I can do or should do, or just follow the parampara. Prabhupada said, book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam. These are our 3 main functions. And we plug in. And now it's not up to us who takes when or at what point. I'll give you a little story. as far as, you know, all these incarnations and all that, it's amazing. People, let's say it's somebody's birthday, and you give them a gold ring or a gold watch. They're not so impressed. But if they go to some so-called spiritual gathering and some guy pulls out a gold watch and supposedly manifest it and give it to them. Oh! See how foolish they are. It's the same gold watch that somebody gave you as a birthday. It's not so impressive. But if some guy supposedly manifests it and gives it to you, then, oh, he's a So people are ignorant. They're ignorant. So I tell you a story. The Power of Prophets books. Vijay just posted this on his book distribution conference. Some of you may have seen it. In Africa, because he's traveling in Africa right now. He doesn't know he's going to be quarantined when he comes back because he went to Nigeria. But anyway, that's another story. Anyway, so he's traveling in Africa, and I think it was in Kenya. There was a life member who bought a set of Bhagavatams, and he put it in his closet and sat there for 30 years. Nobody in the family touched it, looked at it. After he died and they were cleaning out the house, they found the books, proper set of Bhagavatams, and they started reading it. The grandmother asked the grandson to start reading. So every day he would read and read and read and read, and they all got excited. They were all coming here to read. Finally, the grandson became a full-on devotee, and the rest of them started going to the temple. This is the power of Prabhupada's books. We should never think that we have the power to deliver anybody. We are assistant. Prabhupada himself said that. One time one disciple said to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, when I preach, and Prabhupada cut him off. He said, what do you mean when you preach? I'm preaching, and you're helping me. So as long as we maintain that mentality, that we're not preachers, we're assistants to Srila Prabhupada, and the best assistance that we can give to Prabhupada is to get somebody to take his book. Now again, some people are not ready. They won't take the book. But anything they do, any donation they give, if they chant Hare Krishna, even one time they call you a Hare Krishna, they're making progress. If they take some prasadam, any contact they have, Prabhupada would say, it's like poison. You give somebody poison, it doesn't matter if they understand what poison is, they're going to be poisoned. So we're out there trying to give them this Hare Krishna poison. Let them take it in any way, shape, or form. Even if they call you names, it doesn't matter. They will be benefited. Yes, Prithu Prabhu, please give them the microphone.
Now, if we study Srila Prabhupada, there are two things that upsets him a lot. One thing was Mayavadi. I mean, he talked about Mayavadi, and I thought when I was a young devotee, why is this such an important issue, Mayavadi? I don't see any Mayavadi. You know what I mean? What's the reference? Mayavadis are everywhere. If you study these movements, you just have to look at the stage of Bhakti Fest. There's Krishna there, beside there's Hanuman there's Shiva there's everybody right side by side. That's Mayavadi, right there. And milk touched by a serpent has a poisonous effect. Prabhupada told us this as well. Then Srila Prabhupada talked about Sahajiya. That was another thing I couldn't get into my brain. But when I went to India, I saw that tons of people are chanting Hare Krishna, but they're full of sex. They don't change their life at all. In fact, there was a story that one time a man came into the Krishna Balaram temple, and he was chanting the holy name of Krishna, rolling over the floor and in ecstasy. His hairs were standing on end. So Prabhupada heard the commotion. People went, dry, dry, dry. People went crazy when they saw this man in his raptures. So Prabhupada said to Harikesh, Harikesh told me, he said, go over what is happening there, what's the commotion? He came back with, there's a man rolling over the floor. And then Prabhupada said, okay, you take my cane and beat him. And Harikesh said, how can I do? He's a holy man. He said, you beat him. I want you to go there and beat him. So Harikesh went out there and beat this man. And the man stood up and cursed him and yelled at him and screamed at him and ran out of the temple. When Prabhupada heard the story, he laughed. He said, just see. He was phony. He said, if he would have been in rapture in Krishna, he would say, Lord is so merciful. He is coming to me in this form. You know, he one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me. So the world, Western world as well, is full of sahajiya, polluted by, it's so toxic. Sahajiya is one pollution and the other one is mayavadi. So we should know this. Prabhupada said when we read his books, we understand these things very clear. But we can understand what is what. When there is chanting of the holy name, there's a genuine creeper coming in. There are many weeds. They look like the real thing, but they are not. And that's what it is. So on the other side, if you go into the our temple in London, there's a peculiar thing is there's a little Vyasa-san for Narada Muni on the altar. And when I wondered, what is this about? Well, there's a story behind it. When Srila Prabhupada chanted the holy name of Krishna in Conway Hall, you know, all of a sudden he broke out in chanting, Narada Muni, Vajraya Veena. I don't even know the song, but he became completely enraptured. And sang, and the devotees after that asked him what happened. He said, because Narada Muni appeared. He said, I couldn't help it. Narada Muni appeared right in our audience. That type of chanting is what nourishes us. And so we have to hear from a person who is exemplary in his life, not from somebody who is driving his motorbike, like you said, and he dies in a motor crash with his girlfriend, 19-year-old, he's 55, the girlfriend is 19 years on his back seat. And even in the memorial, it said on the internet, he reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnava dies whilst he lives still in sound. When I read this, I became sick. Because that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said about a self-realized soul. Not somebody who rides a motorbike with his girlfriend on his back seat. So that's it, you know. So we don't have to hear anymore. Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. Why should we be bewildered? There's no reason to be. We should understand what is what. In Krishna consciousness, we understand what is what. We can encourage, but we know our ways. No use to argue with people. It's just like when you talk to a Southern Baptist. I take that back, to somebody, a Christian fundamentalist or Muslim fundamentalist. It's no use to argue. You just go your way, chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. Antarashmi Bhagatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
You have to be trained to hear the super soul from outside. That's why the super soul comes out in front of the guru. When you're trained to hear the guru, then you will hear the guru inside also. Thank you. Thank you.